Holding in Chav Zayin Shvat, Siman Samech Hey Halacha Test 2, Halacha Test Vav. And we're deep now into the laws of interest of Ribbis. And this is one of the most challenging halachas and most fascinating and the most probably the Maaseh too. So let's try to get as much as understanding as possible. Someone wants to get a really good English background. There's a beautiful sefer written by, an English book written by Rav Yisrael Reisman. And if you want to learn the halachas inside and you're there, kusamech, kusamech base, etc., that's where you would be studying these halachas. So here we go. The kids is going to give us a very beautiful summary of what we need to watch out for and ask for shailas. So we discussed the idea that when a person lends money, he's not allowed to have anything, extra enjoyment, because that will constitute some level of interest, whether it's rabbinical or d'oraisa, from the borrower. So that's the reason why today we learn in halacha test, if the leve, that means the borrower, wasn't used to greeting the malve with a shalom aleichem, so now that he had borrowed money from him, he's not allowed to greet him in more than what he would have done before that. And the same idea applies, he can't honor him and give him a special aliyah because he lent him money, or in any other place. That means you can't do something out of the norm. It's a beautiful world. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they put together Emes Yaakov and Shulchan Aruch, discussed, and also Shlomo Zalman discussed the idea of saying thank you when a person actually borrows money, if that constitutes extra words or not, because it's all based on what the Kitzur quotes from the Gemara that says that even when the Pasuk says, Neshech kol davar asher yishach, any kol davar, davar also is a lashon of dibo. That means even dibo is also, even words can be forbidden. But again, like I said, it could be that sometimes certain words are not considered an extra word, rather it's just the formalities, and therefore won't be a problem. Similarly, just like from the borrower's end, same thing applies to the malva. He's also warned about Rivas Dvarim. So that means to say he can't, let's say the lender can't say to the borrower, do me a favor, you know, when so-and-so shows up, please let me know. And even though really he's just asking to do him nothing but to just report something to him, but if there's not something that he would have done before, so he's not allowed to ask him to do so, because the only reason why he's doing that is because he's humbled by the fact that he lent him money. Ah, you'll tell me, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Eved lo yivelish malve. We're learning just now about the Pashas of Avadim and Pashas Mishpatim. It says that an Eved lo yivelish, that a borrower is considered a servant to the lender. Excuse me. So the Kitzur says, don't make any mistake. That's only regarding one practical application, and that is if there's an argument between the lender and the borrower, and the lender wants to go to what's called the Beis Nagoda, let's say he wants to go to the big Beis Din in the Manhattan, and the borrower doesn't want to go, the borrower is forced to follow the Malva. That's the only time that the application of this Pasuk of Eved Loive Le'ish Malva applies. Very interesting. Next. Even Teves Hana. What is Teves Hana? The translation of Teves Hana means benefit of gratitude. What does that mean? That sometimes something is not really worth necessarily money, but it's favors. So the example that we're using here is that, let's say you have a malva, the lender. So he's an electrician, and the leve, the borrower, needs an electrician. So Teves Hanam is like this. The borrower obviously could choose anyone to do the job. But now, because the malva had lent the money, so therefore now he's going to go out of his way to hire the malva. So the hiring aspect, that's something that he has a right to decide who to do. And it's not necessarily worth any value or money. But because the malva had lent the money, so now that's why he's hiring him, that's considered an example, again, of interest of ribbis. Again, these are not the raisa because they weren't stipulated and they're not what's called ribbis k'tuta, but they're still forbidden to do so. Another place to be careful. Interesting to know that Moshe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, points out that a lender also can stipulate with the borrower that from now on the borrower is going to refer to him customers to his business. Because again, there's a market value for this service of acting as a broker. And therefore, if a person does so, this could mamish be an isidoraisa of ribis k'tzutza. Okay, next. We're starting now another interesting concept called Sa'a b'Se'a. I can't lend. That means Reuven can't lend Shimon a certain measurement of, let's say, 5 pounds of wheat. He can't lend, so Reuven can't lend Shimon 5 pounds of wheat with the stipulation that Shimon's going to give him back 2 months later the same 5 pounds of wheat. Now, what would be the problem with that? There's no interest going on here. So the reason for that is because it might go up in value. That means wheat might go up in value. And who knows, the war in Russia, whatever the cause may be. And therefore, what's going to happen is when Shimon's returning those 5 pounds of wheat, technically speaking, he's giving him more. Now, this is not stipulated, so this is not the Oraisa. It looks like Ribis, it's Midrabanan, but Chazal say one is not allowed to do so. Nevertheless, because as we said, this is really rabbinical and only looks like Ribis, so therefore, technically looks like Ribis, even if I would say technically there is some form of Ribis here, is because I'm lending you something and you're lending me back something that's worth more. But nevertheless, because we see already that this is not a regular din of Ribis, so there are leniencies. What are the eights? One of the eights is one of the advice to get around this problem is that if Reuven is lending Shimon 5 pounds of wheat, so when he lends him that 5 pounds of wheat, he should give value to it. Okay, the 5 pounds of wheat right now, each pound is worth $20, so $100 worth of wheat I've lent you. And therefore, if Shimon returns back the wheat, they should make sure that he's returning only the amount of value of 100. So this way, if it went up in value, he's going to give him less. So this way, there's absolutely no concern of ribis. Another eitzah. If the loiver, that means the borrower, has a little bit of wheat in his house, it's already permitted for Reuven to let Shimon plenty of pounds of wheat. Why? Because the decree was only made when Shimon doesn't have any wheat in his home. The Shach and the Taz discuss exactly what the reasoning is. It seems to be based on what we said before, since the whole thing is rabbinical. So as long as it doesn't look like when he's returning, because he has right now at the time that he's lending him, he has wheat. So it's considered really that Shimon is ready. If he would return it right now, he would be able to return the wheat to Reuven. So Reuven, so to speak, owns the wheat. And even though it's less than the amount, it's good enough to take away the problem of ribis, of what looks like ribis. There's another permissibility, and that is if that 5 pounds of wheat has a very clear market price in the market, then you're allowed to do so. And that's even if Shimon doesn't have any of that wheat in his home. And the reason for that is also is because technically speaking, he could go purchase right now, and therefore Reuven, whatever he lent to Shimon, is already, you could view it as if it's already been collected by Reuven, and there's no problem of ribis that later on is giving him something that's valued at a high price, because really it's his own thing that's getting more value. Now all this is true if it's what's called min b'min, the same item. But if Reuven lent Shimon wheat and Shimon's gonna return back same amount of pounds, even if it's the same price, but a different item, let's say barley, then one is not allowed to do so, even though there's a market price and the equal market price. And the biggest leniency is what we call davar katan, where there's no hakpada. That means, for example, and this happens every single day, that women lend to each other, or men lend to each other, whether it's eggs, a little bit, you ran out of cottage cheese, or whatever the case may be. So even if they're going to return later a box of cottage cheese and may even have a little bit more, or the point is that even if he's going to give back, let's say, lend you 10 dozen eggs, and then you give me back 10 dozen eggs, and even though the price, there was a fluctuation of price, it's too minimal for the women to have any akpada, and that's why it is mutter. Next halacha is someone that lends money and he's using a mashkan, a collateral. For example, Reuven lends Shimon money and takes Shimon's house as a collateral. So, of course, if Reuven's going to live in that house, that's going to be a serious problem of ribis. He's enjoying something of Shimon because he lent him money. So the way to do it is what's called nachiyasa. Nachiyasa means that he's deducting. That means Reuven's deducting, let's say per year, $1,000 from the loan. So let's say per month it's $100 for 10 months. So every month for 10 months he's knocking now off $100. That's not a problem, because then basically it looks like it's a rental. It means Reuven is renting from Shimon, and although the price might be different than the regular price, that's not a problem. So this is definitely a method. If someone's lending money and he wants to live in this guy's house in Florida, it's permitted. However, interesting halacha that the malver can't rent back to the loiver. I mean, what happens if this loiver, the borrower, decides, no, I really need my apartment. Let me rent it back for you. There, you're not allowed to do so. Because then it's clear that the reason why he's ending up lending it to him, meaning why he's paying him money, looks like real ribbis. Meaning to say, by the lender receiving money from the borrower because of that loan, that at least looks like ribbis, if not mamish ribbis. Okay, next halacha. So that's why it's very important the kids are never using something that's called mashkanta or any types of liens on the loan. One should be careful to make sure that it's being done with a chacham. Now here we get to even more interesting shailas that are nagia lemaisa. Something that doesn't have a market price. So one is not allowed to sell that item for a greater amount of time, a greater price, because he's giving him more time. So let's give an example. So first the kitzur discusses something that has a market price. We're going to discuss something that has a market price. Then we're going to discuss something that doesn't have a market price. And then we're going to discuss buying merchandise. So here it goes. Something has a market price. Let's say a microwave has a known price. It's a specific microwave sold in the store. It's worth $1,000. So now the guy comes, the buyer comes, and he says, I can't pay right away. Can I pay in an installment plan? So the owner of the store says, well, then I'm going to charge you a little bit more. So the halacha is absolutely asr. Why is that asr? Because the reason why he's charging him more is because of the money that it's as if he's extending him a loan. Saying, here's the microwave. You owe me now $1,000. But instead of giving me $1,000, since you're not paying right now, you're going to give me $1,200. That's asr. That's ribbis. Now, if it's something that doesn't have a shah, meaning it doesn't have a specific price that's known. So let's, use an example of a bike. I'm just giving an example. And the bike doesn't have a specific market price. So the halacha is like this. Even though if the guy would give you right now, it's a cheap bike that doesn't have a real pricing in the marketplace. So if he gives you now $100, you would give him the bike, but he can't pay for the $100 right now. He's $100. So therefore you say, no, so he'll give me 120. So you're upping the price and it's okay. And the kitzur says, as long as you don't go more than a six, meaning up to a six more than what you would have charged him. Kitzur says, because at that point, meaning there's a point where everyone already recognizes, hey, you're doing this because you're giving him an extension for the loan. That's a problem. Now, the kitzur says, this is not even so simple, because stipulating it and saying, listen, if you give me money, then now, well, then I'll charge you $100. If you want me to give you credit, then I'm going to charge you $1,100. That's us, sir. So I asked my family in Shabbos, I said, isn't this what stores do left and right? So in truth, there is a Chochmas Adam that says, this for sure is us, sir. There's no doubt. The question is the opposite. What happens if I have something that I sell in the store and someone now is willing to pay me cash right away? So if I say, if you pay me cash right away, I'll give you a decrease, meaning I'll decrease the price. So there, the Chochmas Adam says it's okay. I mentioned Rabbi Reisman's book, and there he quotes different Dachronim that say that some places can say that this is okay, and probably that's a limud chus where you find stores doing so. But again, it has to be that the person basically is giving a hanacha, meaning he's charging less because you're paying early. You can never stipulate that you're pricing more because of Scharam Tanas Mois. That's basically the insight. Then the kitzur says another interesting thing. You have Shimon. He wants to buy, let's say, 100 oranges. 100 oranges from Reuven. And these 100 oranges would cost $1,000, let's say. It's $100. But if he's going to, but he tells Reuven, listen, I don't have the money now. I'll pay you in a month. Now, really, what Shimon's intention is that he desperately needs cash. So what does he do? He tells Shimon, comes to Reuven and says, listen, I desperately need cash. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to purchase from you 100 oranges, right? Let's say, like we said, let's say for $1,000. And even though it's only worth $800, but my intention really is, his intention is to sell it right away. So he's going to sell it right away. And he's only going to get, instead of $1,000, he's going to get $800. But at least he'll have cash for a month. That is Asr, because a month later he's paying Reuven $1,000. So it looks like real ribbis. So now Shlomo Gansfi, it's fascinating, actually asked, the author himself was had some merchandise that he was involved in. I guess he had a business. And he did the same, similar case, where he had merchandise that he sold to someone, and that someone quickly, right away, sold it. And Rav Shlomo Gansfeld was worried that he was the Issa Ribis. So he sent the Shai to the Chasam Sefer, and the Chasam Sefer said that's not a problem. Because there, by the Rav Shlomo Gansfeld, that wasn't the intention. It wasn't clear that he was doing it only for the purpose of having some money to sell that array and have money. And therefore, that would be the difference. Fascinating Chasam Sefer. Now we have two more cases that could be a question of Ribis, and they're not. Here's an interesting case. Reuven has a promissory note, something like a check of today, that says that Shimon owes him money, and it's going to be collected. That's in 6 months from now. So the halacha is that Reuven can sell. That has value. This document, this promissory note, has a value. Let's say it says in 6 months he's going to collect from Shimon $1,000. He could sell it now for $800. But the reason why a person will pay $800 now is because in 6 months from now he'll get $1,000, that's an investment. That's not a problem. And this is true even if Reuven actually sells it to Shimon himself. Shimon could buy back this promissory note, and halachically that won't be a problem. Now, based on this, the kids also gives a very innovative way for someone to have cash. So here's the case. You have Reuven. He needs money right now. He needs cash. It's the month of Nisan. He goes to Shimon, his friend. He says, Shimon, listen, write a promissory note that says that you owe me $1,000. Now I'm going to write you back a promissory note that says I owe you $1,000. And both notes are being based on, let's say, 6 months later. So Shimon's really doing Reuven a favor, because right now Reuven's going to have in his hand a document that says that Shimon owes him $1,000 in Sukkot time. What does Reuven next do? He takes that document and he sells it for, instead of, let's say, $100, he sells it for $90. Now he has $90 of cash until Sukkot time. And at that point, he's going to, of course, have to pay back. He's going to have to pay back Shimon the $100 that he had committed. But in the meantime, also, that other person that bought the document also is able to collect. All this halachically is not a problem. The only time it's a problem, the Kitzur says, is don't make any mistake. Let's say Reuven himself can't write that he owes Shimon money. So he's creating, so to speak, a promissory note. And he owes, let's say, Shimon $100, and then he sells the document to Shimon for $90. The reason why this doesn't work, and this is actually simple, the math is simply a loan. It's not a business transaction. It's not something of some merchandise that's being sold, because there was never really an obligation. So the whole promissory note never changed hands. So all it is really Reuven basically getting $90 from Shimon and then paying back $100. So that's why, to write it on himself, he wouldn't be able to do so. But otherwise, these are some of the etzas of getting it and being able to have money. But of course, all these shailas, ask a shaila, they're so complicated and so intricate.